The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm so happy because I have my UV therapy light blasting in my face. So I'm going to just keep getting happier as the seconds tick on and I just get that sweet vitamin D in my pores. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We actually had some sun today. It's starting to feel like spring. So I have a regular old desk lamp. I don't know if that's doing anything for me, but I did see the real sun. So hopefully that will tide me over for the next however long we're here, hour-ish.
We got 3 feet of snow last week.
Oh, and God.
The entire world shut down. Yeah, apparently Rhode Island got the most out of anywhere in the entire country, which is a really small target to hit, actually. It's really impressive that
Does that feel personal?
Yeah, it actually really does.
Do you feel targeted?
A little bit, but like also all Rhode Islanders are familiar with the great legend of the Blizzard of 78, which happened in 1978. And it was apparently not quite as much snow, but it was more sudden. And so this is the bullshit thing is that the Blizzard of 78 has been held over our heads our entire lives as Rhode Islanders. Anybody who was born, I don't know, like roughly around then till now, knows about this and knows about it's like fucking Game of Thrones. It's like the tales of the dark times and the permanent night and the always ice. God. And like everyone has a fucking tale about it. And now apparently we just have topped that in terms of actual snowfall.
Congrats.
And so thank you. But now everyone's like, oh, but the Blizzard of 78 was worse because we didn't know it was coming. And it's like, okay. You know what? Just accept defeat gracefully. And that's a good transition into the Olympics.
What are we doing here? We're talking about the Olympics, finally. I've decided I'm no longer apologizing for our posting schedule, but I will tell you this. I needed the time between when the Olympics ended and when we're recording this to sit with myself and process. You know, last Olympic cycle, we tried to do a thing where we recorded like the second things happened.
We were so young.
We were so young. And nowadays, like, I had to like go walk and like sit with myself and meditate and really, really process, because that gives you the opportunity to come up with better, maybe less gut reaction-y takes. Which is a bold statement to make before I say the shit I'm about to say.
Yeah. Furthermore, I have really bad seasonal depression, hence the lights blasting in my face. And so if you have ever thought, well, gosh, why aren't they posting sooner or more? You're ableist, and Amber Glenn and Haley Molina hate you.
Wow. So, that's huge.
For not respecting mental health and respecting my mental health journey.
That's huge. I've also been relearning how to walk, which has been exciting. It's kind of like the topic of the Olympics. They're across sports. We've seen so many people like returning from injury or like being helicoptered out with injury and all of that. Luckily, not in figure skating. But in figure skating, we had so many people like, you know, they had to have a brand new ankle installed and now they're at the Olympics kind of stuff. And I've been doing that. I balanced on my ankle for like all of like 10 seconds yesterday and I felt invincible.
I don't know if I could do that. So that's
and I'm ready to talk about the Olympics and I'm ready to talk about men because they happened first and we're trying this like exciting thing where we do things in a chronological order.
Somewhat.
Ish.
Ish. Okay. So the men. Obviously like the short program happened, but I think the thing that we all are really like still recovering from is the free skate.
Yeah. I don't think anything too special happened. Like, the short program went okay.
Yeah.
Like, the short program occurred and was like, yeah, this is skating. This makes sense.
No, it's true. The short was like pretty much as expected. You know, Ilya was in the lead and Yuma was like not too far behind. And then there was like Adam and...
Which was like, hell yeah, he's like maybe back. Like we were hoping to see this. And like, I feel like in the short, it was the kind of thing where if you'd shown it to me 2 weeks before the Olympics, I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like having seen the rest of the season and the rest of the quad, like... That makes sense.
Yeah, like you felt sort of bad for Jinwan and sort of bad for Shun. And then you're like, well, maybe they'll come back and whatever.
Felt terrible for the five fine folks who didn't make it through to the short, to the free. Because I always do. I feel like if you've made it to the Olympics, you might as well skate all of your stuff.
Also, like, I'm sorry. If you go through all the trouble to get your Minions music cleared, you should make the free.
Yeah, I feel like you should make the free and then you should skate the Minions again.
Just do it again.
Just the same thing. Not even like longer and more elements and everything. But
same thing again. And then like loop it for like half another skate.
Hilarious. That is actually camp to me. But yeah, like we got... I love the Olympics so much. I watched like every sport. But we got like 2 solid weeks of curling. And I felt like every time I turned Eurosport on, it was Sweden versus Great Britain curling. Which I enjoyed greatly, and I like felt really attached to what was happening there. All this to say, I feel like we could have found another like half hour for 5 more people to skate. And that goes across all 4 disciplines.
Absolutely. That just feels rude to me. Like,
yeah. Other people, like I've been, before we go into it, I've been like really thinking about this, and I don't have a solution. I mean, obviously the solution is probably to do like, you know, artistic skates and technical skates and blah, 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 blah. It really makes me sad how in other sports you could see someone and be like, they're 27 years old and they're a 12-time Olympic gold medalist. And that's just not the kind of thing that can happen in figure skating because we only have the one set of medals, right? We have 1 for men, 1 for women, 1 for ice dance, 1 for pairs. And if you want more than one of them, like potentially 2 if we count team events as well, but if you want more than 2 in your Olympic career, you have to just make another cycle and then medal again. And then there's people whose like sports are divided in such ways where you could like walk away from the same Olympics with like 5 medals. And it really makes me sad for our folk. It makes me wish we had small event medals, because that could be a thing that, like, sends you home with some more hardware. I don't know. I don't have a solution for it, but it's been bugging me, and I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, they could give out little small prizes. Like, you know, like, I mean, from what I hear, I'm not personally into sports betting. That would be so bad, but...
That'd be such a reveal.
I know, wouldn't it? Like, it'd be like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've had to mortgage my house on DraftKings. And then the secondary reveal there would be, like, you have a house? You have a mortgage? But I was going to say, but you know how they have the little, like, the, like, side bets of, like, oh, like, so-and-so is going to wear, like, green socks today. I feel like you could give out medals in that vein of, like, who had, like, the best jump or, like, who had the best layback? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could do that.
Yeah. Or even, like, literally other events will have small medals and, like, small medal ceremonies and all that. And I feel like at least that would be an additional thing that makes this feel even more special. Like, regardless of how you feel, like, whether the Olympics is, like, the absolute peak of skating, which I have some opinions about. But, yeah, going into this, if that would have happened, we would have had some more boys with some more ribbons about around their necks. But then it's the free. Then it's the free skate.
Yeah, and to that end... Uh-huh. I feel like we need to break tradition, and I think we actually need to start with Ilya. I don't know. I don't see any other way around this.
Yeah, no, which sucks, because I've been struggling with the fact that everything that happened and the podium that we did get has been framed through the lens of, well, Ilya. But we gotta. Like, we have to.
I mean, yeah, you can't escape it. That's the context of it. That's what makes it so wild.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, so this was a level of Menning that I think we have never seen before. And that's really saying something because we've seen quite a lot. This is like Menning 2, which is why my notes are titled Menning 2, Two Men, Two Furious.
Hell yeah. Do you think... So here's 2 things. One, I found it really fun that people who don't follow the sport as closely or as often were like, oh my God, something must have been like rigged and the ice was not ice. And like,
yeah, was the ice bad? What?
All of that. Because for people who have been here for a minute, we're like, oh yeah, no, sometimes this happens. Like sometimes boys will be boys is actually meant for moments like this. But the other
was there a Friday the 13th curse? No, the curse was the male gender. It was just masculinity was the curse.
Masculinity, wanting it too much, not hubris. For one particular person, but like in general, like obviously when you're so amped up and you've gotten it to this point, I feel like of course you're going to fire like harder than usual and like literally throw yourself into it, maybe subconsciously more than usual, which obviously can contribute to like the literal falling and crashing that happens.
It was hubris in like the most classic Greek way.
I do want to ask you this before we actually talk about Tilia and about the rest of it and about the beautiful podium that we did get. Do you think the curse is broken now? Because there's something so, you're saying classic, you're saying Greek, you're like all of that. There's something so epic about it being Friday the 13th and it being the biggest international stage that like everyone watches, even if they don't care about the sport that much. And the meaning being so intense that I am wondering if they've undone whatever the meaning curse is, like in general, across events. And now boys are just never gonna men as hard. Like if it was like some apex event, right?
Yeah, I would be curious to see. I mean, I think in like a very literal way, the only thing that could really do that is if this somehow precipitated a move away from like, let's throw in every quad possible. But in terms of the spiritual, I know the spiritual energies around it, I'm not sure. One thing I will say too is that I think that like there was a lot of discourse around like, was something wrong with the ice? It was too soft. It was too wet. Everyone had a bad time on it. This is my controversial take. And this is, I know that this is controversial and maybe like stupid.
Guess.
I don't care. I don't care if the ice was bad because everyone skated on the same ice.
Exactly.
And I know that that's not even, I know that the thing that makes the ice bad is that it gets worse as it goes. So that's sort of
but that's
true.
Why we have ice resurfacing. Like, it's not as if they just didn't touch the ice between the figure skating events and the speed skating events that were all happening on the same ice. Like,
yeah,
it's not like they froze it over one time and were like, well, this is it. That's for the Olympics. Have fun.
Like, I understand that when it's too soft, like it gets bumpy after like a couple people go. But also like that's the sport and everyone skated on the same ice. And so it was fair. It was disappointing if the ice was not great because you want the ice to be perfect on like the most perfect sporting event. But like I personally, as like, you know, an relatively informed but not super informed observer, I'm kind of like, that's them. Them's the shakes.
I will tell you this. I know our audience is perhaps tired of me saying this, but I am an adult beginner skater. I compete in adult silver one. Ice is bad is one of those excuses that your coaches stop giving a shit about like 5 months into you skating. Like, sometimes the ice at my beloved ice rink, which is responsible for the way I broke my ankle, sometimes the ice is terrible. Sometimes the Zamboni in the downstairs rink where we train just doesn't work, and you have to go and have your practice right after the little hockey boys have played that they're teeny tiny and they run around and they cut everything up. Sometimes it's really, really cold in there and the ceiling is dripping and then the little drippings kind of freeze over into little mounds on the ice. And then sometimes when it's the end of the season and it's warm out, it's soft and wet like it was at the Olympics. And just about the time when you can forward upright spin on both of your legs at the same time, if you're like, oh, the ice feels weird today, your coaches, and I say that as someone whose coaches are really nice and really patient and not like old school Eastern European coaches, will just be kind of like, yeah, sometimes the ice is bad. Like, you gotta learn how to skate into it, regardless of what it's like. Because you don't always have the luxury of skating in your perfect, preferred conditions. Like, if you travel, if you go to someone else's rink, if it's magically super cold or super warm. Things will be different.
Exactly, yeah.
And also, conversely, people have different preferences. I forget who it was about, but I remember back in the day when I was at the Grand Prix de France in 2019, there was some of that discourse, which I only remember because I was there and I could see the ice up close and personal. But I remember back then in like the press corner after skates, some people are like, oh yeah, it's a little softer and I actually prefer that and I like it because I'm used to it. And the people who are like, I needed to be Antarctica level of frozen, like solid. So you can't satisfy everyone about the ice.
That's true. Okay, so all of that being said, I think we all at this point know what happened to Ilya, but if you don't, he was the favorite going in. I think that they said in the opening ceremony he was the biggest favorite in any sport. Like, he had the best odds to win out of any sport in the Olympics. And turns out everyone in Vegas is poor now because I swear to God, like, speaking of sports betting, the odds, I mean, I was really thinking about those people and, like, I'm not here to judge anybody's choices. I feel like if you're making that big of a sports bet, something might be going maybe a little wrong in your life. And I feel really bad for you right now. And I feel bad for Ilya knowing that those people's fortunes maybe ride on him. But I feel bad for him for many reasons. There has still to this day never been a quad axel landed at the Olympics.
And the only ratified one as an attempt continues to be Yuzuru Hanyu's. And that's a fact of life.
And that is a fact of life.
If you want to come after me about it from either side of this debate, I'm sorry. I'm just stating a literal, genuine fact on paper.
I can't think of anyone who would come after you because for once you're on the Fanyu side.
Oh, there's people who are mad. There's Gen Alphas who only discovered figure skating 2 days ago and they're upset when you bring that up.
Okay, I don't care. That happened. I don't care. Sorry, it happened. Ilya missed the quad axel and then it was kind of all downhill from there. In subsequent interviews, people said and speculated that, do you think it was the fact that you missed the quad axel and then that really psyched you out and just like everything was downhill from there? And he was just kind of like, I don't know. And like, that's something I've noticed a lot with a lot of the athletes is like, if you ask them afterwards, was it like after the first jump you were thinking this and then this got in your head and then this got in your head and everyone's just like, I don't know. And it's like, yeah, man, like, can you imagine the adrenaline going through your head? Do you guys retain like small, like detailed memories moment to moment of like the world's most adrenaline filled 3.5 minutes of your life? Because like I don't, and I don't think I could walk you through my thought process after like 3.5 minutes of even just like mild anxiety.
At least not right away, I don't think. Again, speaking of my minuscule skating experience, I can tell you that in competitive experience, I usually remember my warm-ups really, really vividly because warm-ups are such a different ballgame and it's so, like, specific and how weird it feels out there. And then I usually remember the beginning and the end of whatever I've skated. And I know, like, one time I had a terrible skate where my flips just did not happen and betrayed me and it was embarrassing. And I remember, like, feeling bad, but getting off the ice, the only thing I could tell you is, like, they didn't work. I couldn't tell you how they didn't work. I couldn't tell you why they didn't work. So imagine that amplified a billionfold for, like, the gravity and the amount of people watching and the stakes. I mean, I bet it's different for different people. I bet there's some people who, like, know exactly, like, you know, oh, I looked up and made eye contact with someone with a green sweater in the audience and that, like, distracted me for a minuscule second or, like, whatever. But I think it's unfair to any athlete to ask them how they feel, whether they're happy or sad or, like, satisfied or unsatisfied. I think any answer they're going to give you 2 seconds after finishing their whatever their sport is may not even be exactly how they feel because you're so pumped full of like adrenaline and haven't had time to like think it through and like process it again, even if it's sad or happy or whatever.
Yeah, it's wild how that's the convention in sports because I think with journalism and particularly sports journalism, it's all about being first and getting the first scoop. But there, yeah, if you really think about it, the first reaction you could possibly get is probably not going to actually give you a lot of information. So anyway, in subsequent days, I think Ilya had more of an explanation, which was that he was just, is the mental pressure. It was the pressure of it. It was, you know, him feeling like just in that moment, like all of the negative mental stuff just came crashing in on him. And that sucks. I feel awful for him if that's the case.
I do also feel awful for him. It's been a tough line to toe for people like myself who don't particularly like care for him and his skating. So like, is a part of me thrilled that he didn't end up on this podium by a billion fucking points? Sure, but I never would have wanted it to happen the way it happened. And it's like a really tough line to toe and like a really weird thing to talk about with like friends. I was hosting a party with many of my friends watching, and there was this moment of like, holy shit, like what the fuck is happening? Especially because like everyone at my party is also like huge fans of like the people who did end up on the podium that we're about to talk about. But even in my state of like several drinks and witnessing something completely insane happen, I had to be like, no. Like we wanted one wobble that maybe brings him into fourth or like into bronze, like something like that, and not, you know, the absolute fucking crash out that we witnessed, which like I wouldn't wish on 99% of athletes. Like if you're an absolute garbage fucking person and then you go out and you do that, I'll laugh, but I don't think he's that.
You know, okay, the one silver lining as a fan who, like you said, is in that awkward position of, I'm not like a huge Ilya lover, I'm not a huge Ilya hater, like, you know, whatever, is that when the world's eyes are on your niche interest for a couple of weeks, you have to kind of think about, how am I going to talk about this like a normal person at work? And I was fully prepared because of like, you know, the women's event at the last Olympics, to have to figure out a way to say, I personally do not care for the people who won, but I understand why you thought it was impressive in a way that wasn't condescending or a downer. It's so easy because if anyone brings up skating, first of all, they're going to say like, oh, Alyssa Liu, and then we don't have to talk about the men. But if we are talking about the men, all they say is like, oh, that's so sad for Ilya. And I'll just be like, yeah, I feel bad for him. And they'll be like, I feel bad for him too. And then we get to move on and just agree.
Yeah. Hilariously, something that I learned is my grandma called me. She called me after every single event, but she called me the morning after the men's. And she brought news of the Eastern European grandmas, the Bulgarian grandmas, who had universally decided that they wanted Yuma to win. So my grandma was like, oh yeah, me and friend's name redacted decided that we didn't care about this Milanen kid. Like, she was so much meaner than I could have been. Like, I'm like, grandma, if you say any of this on the internet, they will find you.
Grandma mean is a whole different
But it was really funny because she came in with all of the like talking points of like, yeah, one of the, that was like after the short was like her opinion. And then she was pleased about the outcome of the free in a way that's maybe more aggressive than I would afford myself to be. But after the short, she was like, yeah, some of them, they just jump. And then some people, they perform a whole thing and it like tells you a story and blah, 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 blah. And that is just so charming to me that there is normies out there, and some of those normies are grandmas, and some of the grandma normies maybe catch on the intricacies more than other four-year fans.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was funny. I feel terrible about the poor man.
I do too. And I think you exactly hit the nail on the head of like, it really felt like really crazy that he came in eighth in the, like it just, and in the free he was what? What was 15th. His ranking? 15th. That felt crazy to me. I'm not even sure that, maybe I'm just so used to him getting banana scores, but that felt like really low to me. And
I mean, at one point there's no way to cook it, right? Like up until the second the scores came up, I kept being like, they're gonna find some way to, like, so much of the marketing worldwide of this is dependent on this moment, which is why he crashed, is right. Because like, oh, holy shit, I've been the fucking like thumbnail on Eurosport for a month or like whatever. I bet that feels insane and challenging and difficult to cope with. But up until the second it happened, I was like, they're going to figure something out. Like, they're going to get him to, like, again, like, fourth, third, like, something.
I still genuinely cannot believe they didn't. And, like, I don't even understand how or why they didn't. I really, really believe
it. Well, it was really bad.
I know, but I believe in my heart of hearts, like, and maybe this is just a testament to how little faith I have in the scoring.
Yep.
But I still believe in my heart of hearts that we have seen things in our lifetime. We have maybe even seen things at this Olympics that have made us feel like, why couldn't
ask me about ICS? Don't.
Or ask, you know, could we not look inside of the magical Adelia Petrosian bag for some points? You got them in there. Yeah. So, like, I don't understand. And I'm not saying they should or should not have cooked it a little more. I just can't believe they didn't. Like, as we said on this podcast, the only way that Ilya does not win is if he loses consciousness on the ice and physically dies for a couple minutes. And, like, that didn't happen, and he still ended up eighth. So I don't know. I guess.
Like, I was giving some, Jamie and I were giving some of our friends primers, like, before the boy skated. We had some great reactions, and that could be a full episode, like a full bonus, where I tell you all of our beautiful friends' beautiful opinions, because some of them were fucking hilarious. Like, watching skating with people who've never seen it beyond, like, watching Ice Princess one time is a joy that has reignited my care for the sport in, like, brand new ways. But as we were priming them, we were like, the only way Ilya isn't on this podium and maybe at the top of this podium 99% is if he skates out there, sits down, and just smiles at the judges for 3 minutes. And here we are.
And I still maintain that that would have gotten him a pretty good score. Because
that's lovely, like, PCS.
Oh, avant-garde, yeah.
Very experimental. Benoit Richaud, like... It's like all that.
Because you know what that is? What that would have been? That would have been something, but not nothing.
Fucking.
Anyhow.
I'm sorry to this man. I genuinely am. I will never stop roasting that fucking program.
So bad.
Like, also, I assume he's going to do Worlds. We haven't heard anything about him not doing Worlds.
I think he said he was gonna.
If I were him, I would be pulling up I'm Not a Vampire from last year and just doing that. I think I would have such intense... And this is not a judgment on him. It's not, like, I will judge this program as a concept forever. But even if it was, like, the best program of all time and it was, like, awesome music and it was, like, incredible, if I were him, I wouldn't want to redemption skate it. I'd be like, you know what? Nah, we're just gonna do something different.
I genuinely, in my heart of hearts, believe and predict. If I were a betting woman, I would put money on this. I believe, in my heart of hearts, that he is going to stick with the program, but revamp it, do a voice 2.0, and incorporate news clips of everyone talking about the most stunning upset of Olympic history, blah, blah, blah. And then him being like, but I am not nothing. And then, like, blah, like, it's going to be that. It's going to be very that.
Hi, if any of you are into sports betting, first of all, please seek help. Secondly, maybe seek help after Worlds, because I think Megan is right and it's running a cold chill down my spine.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like it's...
If I were him, I would skate a free program to Nemesis by Benjamin Clementine.
Oh, God.
And I would let people figure out the layers and the complexities. Can I say that I felt so bad for poor Olympic gold medalist Nathan Chen, who was just there to watch for funsies. And the second the fucking flop arena happened, people were in his face, microphones on, like, hey, bud, remember fucking 8 years ago when this happened to you? How does that feel? How does that feel? What do you think he feels like right now? And he's like, I haven't spoken to the guy. I felt so bad for him because he's, like, redeemed himself a billion times over since. And they were still like, you're American and you flopped.
Yeah, what's that like, Bo? They also, I kind of feel bad for Nathan and Amber for the awful cut to him after she skated, like the extended 30-second cut to Nathan. Like, can you imagine if you just accomplished, like, the most amazing thing that you've ever accomplished in your life? And then it was like, let's throw your boyfriend from 10 years ago for a long time.
I mean, look, worse things have happened. Okay, dream blunt, not dream blunt rotation. That's a completely different thing. Here's a what if. Imagine you wake up, a genie has given you incredible powers to be incredible at one thing. You go out there, you perform it for an international audience. It's a tear-jerking, beautiful moment, regardless of if it's skating, singing, like whatever. Would you rather than the NBC camera cut to Martha Stewart, Snoop Dogg, or your boyfriend from 10 years ago?
I was single 10 years ago, so I feel like should it
okay,
be
so
like,
you're most like 10 years, like 10 years to whatever boyfriend, like college boyfriend.
Definitely not that. I don't know. I'm really the thought process is like I can't. I'm stuck on why Martha and Snoop wouldn't be together. Is I think
no, it'd be like an intense close up. It's like a very, very like tight close up.
I think Martha Stewart. I would want Martha Stewart. I think I love Snoop Dogg, but Martha Stewart was a bigger figure in my childhood, I think.
I respect that. I think I'd want Snoop. I think I'd want him to be rolling a joint and just giving the like most non-committal thumbs up. Just like kind of looking up like, oh, that happened? Yeah.
If he was rolling a joint in the middle of the Olympic arena, do you think they would cut to him? Is that something you believe would happen? Is that part of your genie wish?
If I'm at the Olympics and I've just skated a beautiful free skate with like a triple axel and everything in it, and I'm the cunt mutter of all time, he would be rolling a joint and he would be sharing it with me after.
Ilya, God rest his, well, no, he's alive. He's alive.
Oh, God.
He had, no, I, God bless is I think what I meant to say. But get him a therapist who isn't Martha Stewart.
Get him
or Snoop
a therapist
Dogg.
Who isn't Martha Stewart or Snoop Dogg. Get him a coach who's not his fucking father.
Agree. And I think even like Raph said that, which is kind of amazing.
If Raph is judging your fucking choices, like you gotta make some changes.
I think that the behavior of the dad in the kiss and cry, like you can debate that. It's embarrassing. Like
upsetting.
And like whatever. Like you can be like, oh, like it was just like a photo of one moment, and like maybe that's true, but like I don't know, I wasn't there. But I just don't feel regardless of that, I don't necessarily feel like the environment is the best, but you know,
I don't love it. Also, if this is Ilya stepping into his own and like shedding the image and whatever and like being Ilya 2.0 for the next quad, maybe it starts with his coaching staff and we go from there.
We have to talk about how he like threw a tantrum in the kiss and cry, but then like immediately switched to being a good sportsman. And in the kiss and cry, he was like, they should have sent me 4 years ago, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that wasn't even a thing. I was there. I was a fan 4 years ago. No one was talking about that.
I remember us being so intense about, like, Olympic team selections.
Yeah.
And I don't remember saying his name once.
At no point. It was always like, it's going to be the next one. At no point.
Yeah.
Like, it's so embarrassing. The thing that was embarrassing about it for me was, like, that was not going to happen, my son. Like,
and also, it would have been worse if it did. Like, yes, I understand.
Jason did really well.
I understand that. I somehow understand the psychology of like, oh, like if this wasn't my first time going through this, I would go through it better. But time travel doesn't exist, and at some point, it will always have been your first time, and it would always have been maybe like this. If you were always gonna fold under the pressure at your first Olympic free skate, whether or not it happened this time or fucking 4 years ago. I do not think you could just like retroactively, like if they sent him last time and he flopped, would he be like, oh yeah, they should have sent me when I was fucking 12 years old in the last one. Like, are we just going to backwards engineer it until it's like he was 3 years old getting his first Jacksons and they were like, we should have sent him so he wouldn't crash out the next time. Like,
I think,
that's not how it works.
I know. I also just think like, I don't necessarily even judge him for saying that in that moment, because when you're like a perfectionist and you have a lot of pressure on you, the first instinct when you mess up is always to be like, how can I fix this? What could have gone differently? Just to like, because you're so focused on like doing it perfect next time or like making sure this never happens again. And so I think, I mean, I get it. But like, then he was really nice to Misha and it was all good, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's like, I don't know that he deserves to be like,
nominated for an Olympic Fair Play Award? No.
I don't really even The Olympic Fair Play Awards, to me, I don't think that Ilya should be nominated. And also, I'm not even sure Yuma should have been nominated. I think
Yuma was just excited for his friend.
Just be excited for your friend. I don't know that he, like, did anything the way Amber did of, like, standing up to a paparazzo. Like, I don't know. Whatever. The final thing I will say is that without really getting into it, I love that we are getting absolutely fucking messy drama scandals interpersonally with skaters again. I'm sorry for anyone who was hurt in the process, but as a spectator, it makes me feel like the sport's alive.
I feel like a lot of people on the internet who don't want anyone to ever be remotely, like, quote-unquote problematic or, like, cringe or anything, that directly counteracts the agenda of let's get people excited about this sport again in, like, all of the ways, because there has always been weird drama. There has always been all of that. And maybe I don't want to see people crashing out on social media, but it's fun when they do.
It's
and
fun
I kind
when
of
they
want
do.
To know the tea. I'm sorry. We live in a world where apparently RPF is allowed on podcasts. So I think I'm allowed to say I want to know the tea.
Are we allowed to say what happened on here?
I don't know.
I think we are, because I think that everyone else is going to fucking do it. And I think that...
Okay. In the words of drag legend Cynthia Lee Fontaine, may I know the tea, please? Thank you in advance.
I don't know. As far as I understand it, someone took a photograph of Ilya Malinin grinding with Gracie Gold, who is one of the greats of American skating, and also, like, in a very public relationship with Nam Nguyen, friend of the pod from a million years ago, who is one of the greats of Canadian skating. And I guess Nam took it poorly and had kind of a crash out on social media, which he has thus since apologized.
Acknowledged that it was him.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy because he could very easily have been like, that wasn't me. I was hacked, blah, blah, blah. But he was like, no, that was me. That was my burner. I behaved really badly. Please don't take it out on Gracie, which I thought was pretty like.
I respect that. People are like, oh, he's an incel now. And that's like how embarrassing. And it's like a lot of people on the internet have maybe never had a relationship that they really deeply care about, because that shit will sometimes make you feel and do things that you're then embarrassed about. And I think everyone deserves some grace, pardon the pun, in this
Netta
situation.
Netta Marie Voltrava.
That is my legal name. It's the word. It's the word. It's better than what a Tumblr... Wow. It's better than what a Twitter user said, which I don't know who it was because it was just read to me by Jamie, but someone was like, Ilya said, I am leaving Milano Cortina with two golds one way or another.
Stop.
And if that was you, please know that you've lived rent-free in my head for like 2 weeks now.
I think the thing that makes it really funny to me, and not funny, like not funny, I'm not laughing at other people's
pain. Whole thing
I have
like it's drama, but it's not life and death, like we can
no,
laugh
it's
at
it's not
this.
That's why it's funny to me, is because all they did was dance, as far as I can
as far
tell.
As we know as far
as
we
as
know
we know
like
as
if
as
I were
know.
If I were crashing out about my partner doing a thing, maybe like we the internet have seen one picture. We don't know what led up to that picture. We don't know what happened after that picture. I'm not here to speculate, but I am saying that if I, a grown adult man, I'm having a bit of a crash out, I would assume it's not over one picture. Also, I don't know how other people read straight people move through life. Like, when I'm at the club, that could happen with most of my friends. And I don't think anyone would be shocked.
Well, Gracie Gold's also not straight, so.
Exactly. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? I will tell you this. I watched that terrible show, Finding Her Edge. Remember when that happened like 2 months ago on the internet? Terrible show, but there's like a whole thing, spoilers for Finding Her Edge on Netflix. There's this whole thing where the bad boy and the main character girl go out clubbing like the night before a big competition. I couldn't tell you, it's about like sectionals or some shit, because like the way they get to worlds doesn't make any fucking sense, but it's like they go out before a thing. And then they go to, like, registration at the event the next day, and everyone's, like, talking about it. And there's, like, a hashtag about it, and so all over social media, and everyone's, like, you know, oh my god, they're, like, so bad because they did that. And, like, and I remember watching that not even 2 months ago and going, that would never happen in real life. We don't care. And then it did. So I'd like to formally apologize to Netflix, I guess.
the way we're getting blind items about skaters, and not even just this incident, but also just apparently Ilya having like
A-list figure skater.
Which
is
everything.
A batshit sentence. That, unless that, you're Johnny concept, Weir on Traitors, I don't think you get to say that.
I don't even then, think, I don't think A-list and Traitors is even going together, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't. A-list figure skaters. Do you want to talk about three of those? Namely, the fucking podium here.
Yes, I do. I do. As a continued break in tradition and expectation, I actually wouldn't mind going straight to Misha.
Okay. Let's do it. Mikhail Shaidarov, Kazakhstan hero, won the fucking Olympics.
Yeah, man.
I'm so happy. I don't care how it happened. I'm so happy.
I know. This is kind of part and parcel of my general feeling that, like, the Olympics is not Worlds. I consider, like, Worlds to be the final exam.
Agreed.
And I don't consider Olympics.
Olympics is more of like a senior showcase. Olympics is like, oh, we're going to show to other people what we do.
Olympics is like prom king. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's important and it matters, but it's not like necessary. It's not a culmination. It's a separate thing. It's like your SAT score. You know what I mean? Or I don't know if we're doing high school, I guess. So for me, you know, I'm all for it. I think I can understand why there might be people who are like, well, I think that someone else should have won because I don't think that Misha is the best men's skater in the entire world. And I'm like, I don't fucking care. He was the best on that day at the motherfucking Olympics.
That's not the category.
Category was best at the Olympics on that day.
Also, we've all seen how fucking special it has been to Kazakhstan as a country. We've seen like how excited Dimash, who is the musician, was. He gifted him a fucking car. Like, I'm not saying that it's so rare for someone from a small federation to get that crazy honor, but as someone whose country just got two Olympic medals at the Winter Olympics for the first time in 20 years, and people are like in the streets like cheering over a fucking like snowboarding bronze, I can tell you, without even being Kazakh, how special that must have felt. And I feel a lot of like the, you know, cheesiest, most like grandiose, pure, like lip centrist, like wars don't exist kind of take on the Olympics, where it's all about like gathering and like sports from all over and stuff. I feel like from that perspective, this is what you want to see, because it matters so much more in the grand scheme of things for like a country and like its sports and all of that. Like, Misha winning this gold could directly lead to more kids from Kazakhstan picking up skating, to more like to a rink being built, to like stuff that if Ilya had won, it'd be like, oh my god, awesome. And the shit ton of American kids who already skate would be like, oh yeah, I watched him skate at the Olympics when I was five and I was very inspired. But that's a different thing, right?
Right, exactly. And in the same way that, you know, Dennis Ten and his legacy really inspired Misha, and, you know, it keeps going. We're going to see the ripples of this in Kazakh skating for generations. And I think that's really, really cool.
It's so exciting.
Also, to take nothing away from Misha, I thought that I felt like he finally locked into his fifth element skate, and I felt it's like, oh, I get it now. I was the gif of Danny DeVito crying. It's like, I get it now.
Yeah. I just think Misha showed up ready to play, and it worked out for him. And I do think part of it is because he probably didn't expect the podium, let alone what happened. He was fifth in the short. He's fifth going into the free. He's just, if I were him, I'd be like, well, I'm making top six, which is probably awesome. Let's just go for it and see what happens without the expectation.
He took his skates off.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he? Like, also, like, the progression of him sitting in the leader's chair and slowly realizing, oh my god, it's gonna be a medal. Oh my god, it's gonna be silver. Holy shit, what the fuck just happened? I want gold. Is one of those moments that I think we're gonna think about way more than, like, the wobbles of this Olympics when we're far removed from it.
I also love the added layer that you get from everybody after, where they're like in the leader's chair, like, it all happened really fast and I actually couldn't see the scores and I kind of didn't know what was happening. I didn't know who was in the lead. I don't know. Yeah. It was just like confusing and I didn't understand what was happening. So it was like, there's just a lot of confusion there.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine with like the adrenaline and the relief and the loud noise and like crowd and everything. Like, I can't imagine what those, like that 35 minutes would have felt for him. But I feel like it was earned. I agree with you on, like, maybe if you're a diehard figure skating fan, for us, like, Worlds means more being able to repeat the result. Like, for me, like, being a, for example, three-time Worlds gold medalist might mean more in terms of, like, consistency than Olympic gold. But something about Olympic gold feels so, like, prestigious and, like, fancy.
I know. It's just such a fun treat. And I think... I think that this is going to, I hope, and I think that this is going to push him to continue to develop and continue to improve past where he maybe thought he could, because he's already achieved things past where he thought he could. So that's kind of incredible. He'll have more resources now. He'll have more funding now. And, you know,
he's going to roll up to the French Alps with his braces off and a haircut, and it's going to be danger for everyone.
It's going to be like She's All That.
They take his glasses off. He starts weeping. He never knew he was beautiful before that.
Shido's all that. Okay.
That's the title of the episode.
I think it has to be. So yeah. I was, as much as I double down on, I don't think that Ilya deserves any sort of like special sportsmanship award for going to hug the competitor right after. I do think that it was really like a moment of astuteness for the first thing to come out of his mouth to be like, you deserve it.
Yeah.
Even like, that's the first thing I would want to hear if I had just won in a supreme upset that was really contingent upon a lot of people making uncharacteristic mistakes. My first thought would be, I don't think I deserve this. I don't think I earned this. And so for the person who messed up the most to have that be the first thing out of their mouth, like, no, you deserve this, that would mean a lot to me. And I think that it was the right thing to say at the right time.
I agree. And conversely, like, he and the free scored, what is it, like, 12 points over the person in second, who, by the way, was Steven fucking Gogolev, which...
Steven Gogolev, we'll talk about
him. The Gogo Renaissance?
What is happening?
I'm so thrilled. So many things are happening. But yeah, insane, insane, insane all around. But like, he... Yes, many people had to make mistakes. Many people had to make missteps. But that's part of the sport,
right? That's sports, baby.
And he ended up 12 points above... the person placing in second in the free. And he ended up 11.5 points above Yuma, who ended up getting silver overall. So even if you just look at the numbers, like if I don't know who those people are, if I don't know how scoring works and you show me those numbers, I'd be like, that looks like he won and he deserved it. And I am very happy. You're right. I'm very happy that that was the first thing he got to hear. Which I hope he remembers, because, like, again, I feel like in that moment I would be so, like, blacked out, overwhelmed that I don't know if it would stick with you, you know?
Yeah, but somebody got it on video, so that's okay.
Yeah,
and I think too, like, if everything had gone as expected and all the people who we expected to do really, really well had done really, really well, I feel like he'd still end up in bronze, right? Because if like, Yuma and Ilya had not made any mistakes, then that would still have got him...
Yeah,
right.
That's how it would work.
Which would still have been a big deal, but like gold is just really fun. This is a fun, chaotic twist. I love it for him.
Yeah. Let's go talk about Yuma because we've mentioned him. He is one of the MVPs of this games for me, I think. He, bless him, didn't have the greatest free, and that makes me sad. But I feel like he has so solidly been so consistent, and I think there is a certain mystique to being like, the silver king. I at this point, I don't want to call anyone a god or a king because I'm like that will curse them for the rest of their lives. But I think there's something sexy about being like, it's the thing I talked about of if you're an Olympic gold medalist once, that's like, okay, that things worked out. But the consistency, especially across like two Olympic cycles, to be like, no, I continue to be here and I continue to be worthy of this like podium and everything. People, I saw people be like, oh, yeah, he must be so sad that it's always silver. I'm like, girl, it's Olympic silver, though, right?
And it was very nearly almost bronze. I think the fact that it was silver and not bronze was like a big surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
he Yeah, I mean, I think, gosh, I love Yuma. He's my favorite. I wanted him to win gold. That was like, yeah. I always want him to win gold. In this current field, like, he's by far my favorite. And I think he really is one of the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm, you know, no shade. I think he would agree. This is a new achievement in fumbling the bag that I just, I feel for him, but I'm also like, God, you know, you just have to laugh. Like, you spend your entire Olympic quad being like, I can win. I'm the one who's going to win if Ilya messes up. And then he never messes up. And you're like, but I'm going to keep trying because one day he's going to mess up. And then he messes up on the world's biggest stage. And it's like, but I'm going to mess
up already,
too.
But you've already messed up. You've messed up immediately before him.
I know. It's like,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, something was in the air. Something was on the ice. I think, I hope that looking back on it, this will make sense and feel like earned and as prestigious as it is. I'm also very excited to see what happens at Worlds.
Me as well. Shun Sato, a man who has aged 20 years in the past 2 weeks emotionally.
Bless him.
For all that everyone else was having a good time, he was like bearing the weight of the world.
You know what I said? Yuma was one of my MVPs. My MVP is Shun, because bless him, he had this big emotional moment in a team event, and we were like, well, this is like peak. This is like what's gonna, you know, that's gonna be his thing. And then he ends up ninth in the short in the individual men's, and you're like, oh yeah, it's good for him that he like got to like shine at the team event. And then he goes out and skates like this in the free at the individual event, and he ends up on the podium, and I do not think he realizes that it's happening as it's happening. And that's just theater to me, right?
It's so good. And I think, you know, as much as we're like, oh yeah, the team event was a triumph, which it was, and he should be proud. Yes, I think it was bitterly disappointing for him that he couldn't come out on top.
He did his best and it was not, maybe.
It wasn't enough on that day. So to get a medal, I mean, and again, I love how everyone who got a medal was like a little bit like, wait, what? About the color and the fact that the medal was there. And it was just like no one was like, okay, yes, this is the medal I had expected.
I feel like that makes me excited about the sport in a very special way, because obviously, like, we all like when our favorites win. We all like when things work out in a way that like doesn't shake and upset us. And I don't mean upset as, like, make us sad, but, like, rattle us because it's not what we expected. But at the same time, doesn't it make you feel so excited when you remember that sometimes the ice is like this and the audience is like this and the zipper in the back of my costume was itchy and that was distracting and we get something as exciting as this?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think it's a coincidence that the sport of figure skating is seeing a renaissance in popularity at the exact time when we have both like incredible excellence and like a really stacked field, but also a really unpredictable field where you never know who's going to win. I think those are two factors that need to go hand in hand to really like,
I completely
spark.
Agree, because it makes you keep wanting to tune in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously longtime fans like us, we're kind of used to even those years when it's like, oh yeah, you know, they're all gonna come out and they're gonna skate the same programs we saw in April. They're gonna skate the same programs we saw in August, and they're gonna, you know, this person's gonna be in bronze and this person's gonna be silver and this person's gonna get gold, because that's what always happens. Like, there are years like that and we're just kind of used to them. I feel like if you're just getting into it, the like tingly excitement of, I don't know if my fave is going to win, I don't know who's going to end up on this podium, must be so thrilling if
Absolutely.
You're just learning how to watch, you know?
Yeah, it's always exciting when, like, the big on-ramp to the sport is just, like, a really exciting time for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was probably actually true last time, too, but we didn't really know it yet because, like, at the time, it was like, this is one of the worst moments in history. And then all of a sudden, like, Russia not being a part of it, I don't think we realized how big the change was going to be. But this time we know. And it's like, yeah, just come on in. This is an absolute chaotic delight. So anyway, speaking of Russia not being allowed to be there, I don't really want to talk about the AIN athletes. But I do feel as though Jinwon Cha, who came in fourth, was a little bit screwed over.
Oh,
by,
robbed. Like, I love everyone on this podium, but robbed.
specifically by a neutral athlete who got just like kind of a stupid score.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't like entirely one thing, but I think like sometimes like somebody getting a really great score does like bump you down a place, and then the math-maths. And I think Jin did such a beautiful job. I was happy he was at least able to come in fourth, which was ahead of his previous fifth. I think that's
yeah,
a nice...
but
yeah, it would have been nice.
I would be so upset if I were one of the most talented, beautiful, perfect skaters of the history of the sport, and then a Reddit moderator decided to wipe the Cheeto dust on his sweatpants and skate off and do whatever the fuck he did and outscore me. I'd be upset.
Yeah, I would too.
And it again, like... I wanna for the two people who are pro Russian athletes who listen to this, Здравствуйте, and like, what the fuck are you doing here? I do wanna clarify that I get to roast that little man with the terrible hair because I used to do historical fencing with Eastern European history bros, and they're all this exact man, and I know him. Like, the little, like, greasy-haired metal head who thinks he's better than everyone because he's so deep is a person that I know many times over, and I get to roast him and fuck him. And I wish he didn't get the chance to skate here because it would have worked out better for John.
Yeah. Gogolev was somehow not the hero we wanted, but the hero we deserved this Olympics in
crazy.
Team and singles
yeah.
did so well, specifically knocking the villain of that particular event both times out of yep. contention. In the team event, he like single-handedly got France out of the equation.
Yep.
And then in the singles, he dethroned the AIN athlete who had been, you know, kind of
sitting
holding
pretty.
Up the lead. Yeah.
Yep.
So Gogolev, I mean, look, we're aware he's not a perfect person either. I mean, apparently he's kind of a chud as well. But like sometimes in a sport full of chuds, like sometimes you got to pit them against each other and then be excited when one of them wins.
I love when little Slavic boys get at each other to duke it out.
But what about little Slavic boy on little Slavic boy crime?
Oh, I love it. Again, I used to do historical fencing with them. I love when they hit each other. It makes me feel like my ancestors felt. I don't know what that means. I will say, Gogolev's personality and like whatever we may or may not know or not know about him aside, there's something so special about like someone that we used to see as like this like prodigy, tiny little child, like 2019, like. He was this teeny tiny boy and it was like, holy shit, he's so good. Like, what's going to happen? And then obviously he's had such a long road to get here. And I think even without a podium place, even without like whatever, the fact that he's in this conversation, in this wrap up must feel like a big, big win. And I hope it like buoys him towards like, if he wants to go another quarter, like the way he's going to show up at his next event. I don't know if he's doing worlds. Is he? I don't know. He must be, right?
I'm not sure, but...
Yes, he is doing worlds. But, like, imagine, like, coming in with the swagger of, like, oh, the world now remembers that I used to be the shit. I'm still the shit. Here's how I'm the shit.
He's somehow the heartthrob of TikTok now, which is so funny.
Bizarre, but...
And that's no shade to him. Like, I don't know who teenage girls should or should not be attracted to.
And my God, like, yeah, please.
But, like, I don't know. I just was like, look, Gogolev, the guy who dressed up as the Sims burglar.
You know what? I respect that. I mean, he's, like, quintessential, you know, like, tall, blonde hair, like, whatever. I guess there's some comfort to be had in the fact that teen girls continue to find, like, the quintessential North American heartthrob archetype a thing. Sure. I will tell you this. The lesbians in my house, who, again, are lesbians... From the second Donovan Carrillo skated until the very end, just kept going, mi gente latino! So that's where we're at. But
Donovan,
you know, there's votes for everyone.
You are formally inaugurated into the Dennis Vasiliev Club.
School of Lesbians, yes.
Of you are a lesbian now. You're an honorary lesbian now.
He, him, lesbian, Donovan Carrillo.
Yeah, there we go.
Is this what we wanted to say here?
Well, okay, couple speed round. Adam Xiaohanfa had a bad time. It was sad. Hated that for him. Can we all please And this goes for you too, Ilya. Can we all please stop backflipping at the very end of an absolute chop program?
Yes.
Please. Please, after you failed that many times, you don't get a backflip. The backflip is like extra treat. If you ate your veggies first, you can have a backflip.
Like, I also worry, like, falling and all of that is
right, exactly.
jarring to the body. Like, even if I was the world's biggest fan of backflips, which I'm not, having fallen a bunch of times and like hard falls, you're tired. There's lactic acid buildup. There's like all of that. The last thing you want is like one more nasty fall
or that's like why a wobble. I say it. Yeah. Like, I'm joking, but like, that's why I say it, because if you have just seen your body, and it is one of the most capable bodies on planet fucking Earth, just demonstrate for several minutes over and over and over again that it is not doing great today. why would you then be like, well, all right, but let's finish it off with the thing that could break my fucking neck?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I can kind of understand the psychology behind it if you're like, yeah, fuck it. I've like already fucked everything. I might as well do the one thing that people like tune in for. I get it. I don't think that's smart or sustainable. But I can also understand like why in that moment you might be like, you know, fucking the Hail Mary. Like, let's at least have this.
Yeah, from like a psychological perspective, I do understand. I just, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, it worries me. I had to like kind of wince and look away in for both of those fucking backflips. Even when they do. Also, one last thing about both of them. I was watching so much freestyle skiing and snowboard and all of that, but especially the freestyle skiing and like the ramp stuff. And I wonder if anyone's told those boys, our boys, the figure skating boys, about the snowboard and skiing stuff that they do. Because that's where you go out and you do the fucking 1080s and whatever the fuck. And I feel like, and I'm not advocating for people to switch sports. I'm not like people who are like, well, he sucked as a single skater, so he might as well go to Ice Dance or like whatever. I feel like some of our boys would genuinely be so much happier if they got to do the absolute shit that those incredible athletes do, where they will rotate like a billion times and then land on their feet. And then the commentators will be like, well, she's going to be disappointed with that.
Yeah.
like that's, I feel like they should get to try it. Like those cutesy little things that they do where they exchange like fucking Layla Edwards, who like skated with Isabel and like all of that. Layla, I can't speak Layla Edwards and Isabel like switching like hockey tricks and skating tricks. I feel like they should let her boys learn like basic like snowboard tricks or something.
Yeah, can you imagine how much like with some air Ilya would just be like one of the little sky dancer going into the fireplace?
Exactly. I'm not like saying it to be shady. I genuinely feel like some of them would have a lot of fun.
Yeah, so next time, that's our proposal for content, Olympics, your move. Speaking of cute content, Sesame Street was there, and I always love it when Sesame Street's at the Olympics.
It is so soothing to my soul.
I love, and this brings us to Max Naumov, who of course had the Olympic moment that everyone was, you know, talking about and saying, oh, that's good that he's having it, or no, it's bad that he's having it. I don't know. I don't give a shit. I thought it was heartwarming.
I'm happy that he did. I'm happy that he did. I'm glad that he's friends with Elmo now.
Me too. I think that his Sesame Street segment was so it's funny in like a horrible dark way where like they couldn't like say what they wanted to say and or like what happened or why this was significant for him, because it wasn't like appropriate I know that Sesame Street does breach very difficult topics with babies. This was not the time or place.
I don't think let's talk about parent loss at the Olympics with Elmo is a thing.
No, but there's something, I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard. This is so awful, but there's something really, that's true. There's something really funny to me about the vibe in the room between a human man who has lost both his parents and like three Muppets who also know this and are conveying non-verbally that they are sorry and they're proud of him, but cannot actually say why. Like, that was an indescribable vibe that I have never seen before and we may never see again.
I hope we never have to see that again.
Like, the way that, like, Cookie Monster's, like, how his stupid fucking googly eyes were able to convey so much through, like, you didn't let anything stop you from achieving your dream, Max. And Elmo being like, we love you, Max. And, like, we all know why. And we don't have to say it. Like, things passing unsaid between Muppets is, like, so deep.
And that is a testament to the incredible puppeteers who have puppeteer the Sesame Street characters. As a person who is subscribed to the Sesame Workshop newsletter, and I get little messages from them, and sometimes it's about, like, what the workshop is up to, and then sometimes it's like, Cookie Monster reminds you that he loves you this Friday. Like, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Here's Elmo with a little toy or something. There's something so soothing about it. Even if you're just, you know, a pretty privileged person who happens to be depressed, I cannot imagine. I hope it was soothing for Max. I hope it wasn't an absolute absurdist moment of his life.
Sometimes it can be both.
A lot of time. We met in experimental theater school. Like, I feel it's like true. For
we
us.
We know. We know.
I will say, I know we don't preach Ice Dance and all of that here, but something about the Sesame Street collab, I think about. First of all, Maddie and Evan treating Elmo like their own son changed me. Secondly, yeah. I keep thinking about the reverse shot of both of their moms just, like, filming this. And because they're ancient crones in their 30s, you know, they grew up probably watching, yeah, like, OG Sesame Street. It made me so emotional. Like, imagine being a mom who showed your baby Sesame Street, and then your baby has, like, a bunch of Olympic medals and is happily married and, like, whatever. And now gets to chill with Elmo. Like, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and they got to have Elmo, like, FaceTime her niece or something. It was so cute. Yeah. And then also
if
just,
if a terrible,
like,
tragedy ever happens to me, I want Elmo to be there to support me.
I do too. He'll know what to say, and he'll know what not to say. He'll know what
have
to
I
say
have I told you about
eyes.
Emergency Elmo?
No.
Emergency Elmo is a folder on my phone. There's a creator on TikTok who the whole thing they do is they sing show tunes and other songs, but especially show tunes while puppeteering an Elmo, and they sing in Elmo's voice. And I have the TikTok of Elmo performing Wait For Me from Hades Down, but he sings Elmo's Coming, Wait For Elmo, Elmo Hears The Wolves Repeating.
Oh, I've seen
in
that,
the
yeah.
little Elmo voice. I have it as a separate folder on my phone so I could pull it up in emergencies because it makes me laugh every time.
Sidebar, if you're not following Sesame Shakespeare on Instagram,
oh my God,
that
yes.
is my current favorite thing. It's a guy who takes little Sesame Street figurines and, like, sings, like, experimental opera in their voices. You know, so if you've ever really wanted to see Einstein on the Beach performed by, like, Bert and Ernie, I think there's one where Bert does I Am the Wife of Mao Zedong from Nixon in China. Like, it's just, it's content just for me. Anyway, speaking of Nixon and China, let's talk about Lucas Brichke real quick. I wanted to just honestly, like, shout out, not even about him, but, like, one of my favorite tweets of the Olympics. If you know who this was, please let me know so we can give them good credit. But my favorite tweet of the Olympics was the person who said about Lucas Brichke, y'all mind if a white boy tours the Orient?
I wish for Lucas to, I feel like you would have been happier if you grew up in the days of late 90s globalism.
Yeah.
I feel like if you went to an international school where you can see the flags of all the countries, of all the kids, he'd probably be happier. But as I was saying that, I realized that probably for him, that school is just going to the rink because rinks do kind of still do that.
That's true. Lucas Brichke is like as if a coexist bumper sticker was like a hunky dude.
This has been our Olympics episode, guys.
It has.
I don't think we can top this.
I don't know. We have to quickly say, you know, Matteo, singles was not your day, but you were the hero of the team event.
He continues to be an Italian.
Fine.
Forza Italia. He continues to be an Italian hero.
Bojang, you're a hero always. We love seeing you at the Olympics.
Dennis, you're a lesbian.
Dennis, you're a lesbian. Cow, you'll get him next time. Tomas, the Minions reached out to him after and gifted him the moon. So that was really exciting.
That's very concerning because aren't they supposed to give the moon to, like, a villain? Is there something we don't know about him?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in a long time. I didn't play that close attention. And finally, Yuma is the only thing interesting that happened in Plushie Corner, where he took the baby Tina plushie and turned his metal into a baby Bjorn, which was selfless and innovative in a way that really
deserves... And it traveled across across sports. People it caught started on. Doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a disruptor.
I respect him. He is a trendsetter, and baby Bjorn should be reaching out to him to talk about licensing.
Absolutely. That's influencing, baby. And you can't put a medal on that.
No, you can't. But if you can, it will be silver. All right. All right. We're going to talk about women next time, guys.
We are.
And it's going to be different in vibes, but just as this. In the meantime, if you've gotten this far, thank you so much for supporting us. And if you've been helping us keep the lights on in this metaphorical studio, you are one of our Patreon supporters who Megan is about to shout out right now.
All of you get
Tinas and medals and a weird flip phone Samsung thing.
Metaphorically, from the metaphorical studio.
Obviously.
Metaphorically. But the good thing about a metaphorical Samsung is you will not be forced to do a weird post about it. So,
oh, thank
you
God.
Know, you have that going for you. So this goes for our wonderful friends, Helen, Neve, Cricket, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Erin, Joseph, KM, and Jordan. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. We love you very, very much. I hope you've been enjoying our extended Olympics coverage, both here and on the Becursed app where you can find us. We'll be back with women and we'll talk to you very soon.
Take care. Bye.
Love you. Bye.